Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is a special episode live from TechEd Europe. Joining me today are two of the most interesting guys in the Hyper-V community, Hyper-T and Hyper-D. Tell me about yourself, guys. What's the story?
Well, yeah, as you can see, we work for Microsoft. I'm Daniel, a.k.a. Hyper-D. That's Tony, a.k.a. Hyper-T. And we thought, you know, if you want to evangelize virtualization, you have to have a sticky name. So hence the name Hyper-D, Hyper-T.
Gotcha. And Daniel, how long have you been with Microsoft?
8 years now.
Eight years. Okay.
I'm still a newbie compared to Tony.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he looks older.
Yeah, he looks older. Yeah.
Tony, tell me about yourself.
Well, I started in 95 at Microsoft at the help desk. It's right about 20 days before Windows 95 shipped, so you know how before my first week went.
Wow.
Yeah, and then since then we just moved into, after 3 years, moved into doing presentations, and now we're just like doing events everywhere.
Gotcha. So you guys function like an evangelist, is that right?
Yeah, our official job role is a technical evangelist.
Gotcha.
Our focus is IT pro.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the scope on virtualization, private cloud, and infrastructure.
Do you keep that specifically to Hyper-V, or do you encompass all virtualization, like App-V, Med-V, or what?
Yeah, we do the whole scope of App-V, Med-V.
System Center.
And actually beyond virtualization as well.
Okay.
So we cover like the broad set of products we have. So even if we have to like, you know, new technology like Windows Intune or, you know,
Office
management.
365.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. So if you tell me about the IT Pro, what kind of things do you do? What kind of resources do you have for the IT Pro to get connected and plug into some of those resources?
Yeah, so one of the resources, I mean, and there's also always divided always between online and on-premise presence. So we do, like, for instance, you can go to the MVA, the Microsoft Virtualization Academy, where we have different lectures that you can follow and where you can test yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Those are also part of our commitments that we try to get people there. We have a newsletter. We do blog posts, tweets, and stuff like that. So that's all, like, in the cloud, basically.
Sure.
And besides that, of course, we do sessions all over the country, all over Europe, whatever, you know, whatever, whenever.
Gotcha.
And what we do nowadays, the last year, there's also like a global thing for IT, for evangelists, for technical evangelists, is like IT camps.
Sure.
Where you, as an attendee, also active participate in, for instance, building a Hyper-V cluster, stuff like that.
So the blog, by the way, for the listeners, is www.tonydaniel.ms. Is that correct?
Well, that's not really our blog for listeners. That's more our blog where we put on our sessions, so that people can check what session do we do and where
download
we are.
Download the presentation.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So like a resource kit for the stuff that you guys
do.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'll put links to that in the podcast note. And do you guys blog like on the TechNet blog site?
We have,
in the Netherlands, we have a blog server.
Cool.
And the cool thing is, like, you know, I have my own blog, but we also worked with a lot of people in the community.
Yeah.
And we basically set up an IT Pro community blog in the Netherlands. And so we have people from the community directly blogging on our Microsoft server.
Well, that's awesome.
And they have their own login and everything. And we know the people, of course, so we can totally trust
them. Those are mainly
them.
MVPs, of course. But it's really cool. We thought, like, okay, if you want to reach out to the community,
mm-hmm.
you have to make sure that you have the right resources. And because we cover the whole infrastructure spectrum, it's impossible for us to cover, for instance, SQL into level 300, 400.
Right.
So
right.
Why not ask the SQL MVP if he will write on our blog? But to make it really added value for him as well, we do that without interference.
Perfect.
Or now we have a new medium in which we say, you know what, we're going to link directly to your blog post on your own space.
That's cool.
And publish that on the Microsoft space as well.
You have to have that blog, and that's one of the best vehicles to really engage and create a community space. And that's great that you're doing that. And I know, like, my background is mostly in the VMware virtualization space, and that was really one of the defining ways that the community took off. So I really, really appreciate that from a community standpoint. So one of the things that I always face, right, is everyone in IT has some amount of Microsoft technology. No matter what anybody says, Microsoft's in there.
Yeah.
You're hearing this message, Hyper-V, Windows Server 2012. How does the core customer, how does that IT pro get started, give it a try? Where do they start?
Well, of course, the best thing is to start and download the evaluation of the release candidate that we have out now and put it on a machine and play with it. Of course, there are like a lot of, like Daniel said, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, that website has a training on that now.
Okay.
So you can just follow a training there online and look at the resource there. And the IT camps, of course, will take you through the new Server 2012 capabilities as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge with Microsoft is because we have so many products and so many strategies.
Right.
Like you said, it's always if you start with something new as an IT pro or developer, where do you start? We are always like, you know, from seeing is believing. So we're saying like, okay, I get the product, install it, play with it. But then I think like, I don't see the added value because if you are a VMware expert, like I mean, I used to do a lot of stuff with VMware as well.
Right.
You don't understand how Hyper-V work, or you think like this is boring because I cannot do this, or I'm missing that, or they talk about, you know, function A, but how do I do that? So that's why we say, reach out to the MVA, check those online sessions because those are really short sessions with a test out.
Right. I remember right when the MVA, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, was launched, we had Simon Perryman on. He was one of the instructors for that,
yes.
If I remember right. And the content's always kept up to date with newest System Center, newest Windows, newest Hyper-V and all that. And yeah, it's great. It's a great resource. I went through one session, one segment of it. I do recommend that you guys check it out. Really easy to use, free. That's the best part. Always available, fits your schedule. Not much more better you can say about it.
The other cool thing is what I like about MVA, it has a little bit of a competition area there to it. So whenever whenever you do courses and you pass the test outs, you get points for that.
That's cool.
So you'll really level against other IT pros or, you know, people
in
the field.
You can see with the peers in your country, you know, are you in the top 10 or not? And you can see, you can check out the globally, stuff like
that's
that.
That's a good trick there.
Oh, that's cool.
We're still aiming for Xbox, you know, achievements. But
nice. So, you know, specifically in the Netherlands, in the VMware community, virtualization really does well here.
Yep.
Do you see the same in the Hyper-V virtualization community as well?
Yeah, I mean, in general, for such a small country, the management of virtualization space is really mature.
Yeah.
So like you said, VMware is big here. Also, Hyper-V is rather big here. I mean, of course, not as big as VMware, but we're getting there.
Right.
So we got a lot of people that are also specializing in VMware trainings and Hyper-V trainings and stuff like that. So yeah, we got a healthy competition going on. And also, the fun thing, I think, is there's also a lot of interaction.
Sure.
So, of course, you know, some people work a lot with VMware. We work a lot with Hyper-V. But we do cross-collaboration to get the knowledge going. Because in the end, we all are techies.
And we all want to be virtual.
We all want to be virtual. And in the end, it's not about the hypervisor you're using. It's about, you know, you want to have your surface running for your customer.
Right.
And the customer doesn't really care about what kind of hypervisor
they just want their app.
They want their app. And
yes,
it's all about the app. You know, that's of course, the end point from their perspective.
Yeah. Can't agree more. I know that I've been playing a lot with Hyper-V R3 and 2008 R2 as well. And one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, there's the whole competitive, like, you know, this feature is available, that feature's not. But when it comes down to the things you really need to do, right, provisioning storage, networking, provisioning library VMs and stuff like that, it's not that tough, right, if you're thinking about Hyper-V. From a comparative standpoint, I think if you are a VMware customer, you really should check out Hyper-V just to be familiar with it, right? Because then you need to be asked the question, well, which one should I use? And you need to have an intelligent answer on both. So all these little steps, like how to provision VMs, how to provision storage, they are they're quite intuitive. But I have to give props to Hyper-V R3 for one thing that's been bugging me, driving me crazy forever. Virtual disk larger than 2 terabytes. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be, was it 64 terabytes now with Hyper-V Server 2012?
Yeah.
The developer preview was limited to 16 terabytes, but then they scaled it up, which was awesome. I
scaled a lot up with the new preview.
Yeah.
That's, the release preview that's out now. Scaled a lot of numbers up. I love really the underlying features in the OS that support Hyper-V, for instance. Did you look at disk deduplication?
Oh, yeah, the Windows Hyper-V, or Windows deduplication.
Because like if you have a big folder with a lot of like files in there and everything, like the VHDs or something. It's not really a good example of that, but
well, yeah, structured data types like Exchange and SQL are not good candidates for Windows deduplication, but like expanses of unstructured data are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So and it functions as a scheduled task. You enable it on a volume. You don't usually want to do it on a C drive, but for those those outbound expanses. Because usually the storage required for the C drive for Windows is not a problem in most environments, but unstructured data profiles, that's where you want.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But if you look at if you go back to the hypervisor, like you said, now our numbers are better and bigger. So the months of VM, like the VMware is talking about, we can crunch that. We can crunch that even better.
Yeah.
But what we really love is like that we have from the OS now things like shared nothing live migration.
Yep.
That was something that was always bothering me. Like okay. I have these failover scenarios and stuff like that, but what if I want to fail over from one cluster to another cluster?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we got third-party add-ons in both worlds. You know, Veeam is a good example of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really cool that we have a lot of functionality now from running our hypervisor with the OS. So it's not like you need added products
right.
on top of that. You can do a shared nothing live migration. You can live migrate your virtual machine to another host without any
shared.
Without any shared storage, without being in a cluster. It has to be in the same domain for now.
Yeah,
but I mean,
you need connectivity. That's really what
that's
it comes
it.
Down to.
Network cable is enough.
Cable is enough.
Wi-Fi?
Probably. Well, we haven't tried that. I mean,
not a good idea.
No, not a good idea.
Latency, but
yeah. But I mean, that's really cool. And it's the same with Hyper-V Replica and stuff like that. And
Replica is really cool.
Yeah.
Especially with the things coming up with, of course, like things like Windows Azure, what we're doing there.
So, yeah. Tony, you brought up a good point. You mentioned the cat and mouse game of numbers back and forth. And in the end, I think that's important, but not really that important. And what I mean by that, it comes down to, can I run my apps? Can I run my virtual machine?
Yeah, totally.
Can I support it? But the only number that I was really stuck on was that disk larger than 2 terabytes, right? That's the one number I wanted to see go higher, and I'm glad that's finally arrived with the release candidate.
Yeah.
So, what kind of other things, would you offer as a resource or a recommendation to people to get started? Like, what's the hardest thing that you see people, I've gone through the Virtual Academy class, I'm reading the blogs, I'm engaging in the community. What's that next step for people to take? Try it in production? I mean, what is it? What's the next step?
Yeah, it's tricky because we do multiple things. So another thing that we always, IT pros also seem to struggle with the architectural design, like, okay, which hypervisor or which fertilization strategy am I going to use? Do I go for application fertilization or a VDI solution? But then also the next question lies around the corner, like, okay, how do I deploy my machines or my new OS within my organization, and how do I handle application compatibility issues? And a thing that we use for that mostly is the Spring Boot series.
Sure.
Because they have an amazing amount of content around app compat, OS deployment, and also the app fee stack, the MDOP stuff like that.
That's cool. That's a good point, because VDI, I've wondered if it's a kind of stopgap. I've always wondered, maybe because virtualized apps and bring your own device, those other types of approaches, and especially where Windows 8 is going on mobile and phones and stuff like that. What's your guys' take on desktop virtualization, VDI? Is it still have a fit for some organizations, or, do you see app virtualization?
Actually, more than ever, actually.
Yeah,
really? The whole bring your own device thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people will bring in their own devices, and I think, like, VDI is a great way to will support the device, but you're going to connect to a VDI.
That's
one way, right?
Yeah, it will be a Windows to go or a VDI scenario and stuff. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is what System Center Config Manager supports multiple platform device management. So that's a key enabler to BYOD, and that's one thing that have you guys used that part of SCVMM?
Yeah, we played with that. Not in production, of course.
I've seen it discussed in keynotes and stuff, but what more can you tell me about that?
That not everything is working yet.
Okay.
I mean, especially we do the multi-mobile device platform stuff.
Yeah.
But for instance, you still need to think about what if I'm running different versions of Android in my environment.
True.
You still need to think about that. So that's why I'm saying, you're running to the old stuff that you were running before, like app compat issues, because now I basically are running different OS versions.
Right. Yeah, and Android.
So it works. We support those.
Android is a good example.
I mean, Android
is so fragmented.
That's it. That's why I bring it up, because like I said, it's still like you want to as much as possible, of course, run on the same version or stuff like
sure.
that. And Yeah, so you still need to think about those things, of course. We cannot solve that for you because, yeah, like
right,
said,
right.
That's the same if you're running multiple versions of Windows. You need to take App Compat into account.
Absolutely.
But I must admit, I was impressed with the things we can do, like sideloading applications in an
yep.
iPhone and stuff like that. The ways that we are approaching and thinking about how can we use the already existing mechanism for this Android or iPhone and use that in our adventures as well, or make it easier for an administrator to get to make sure that this app is deployed all over the space.
That's the common theme.
Yeah.
Make the app available, make it easy.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Daniel and Tony, any closing thoughts, TechEd Europe?
Well, I have a closing thought on what you just mentioned, like what you think about VDI and virtualization.
Sure.
I think our how we see it is like, you know, we had the same discussion that we have nowadays with virtualization or with the cloud. We had the same discussion like 20 years ago when we had like terminal servers, like you said, you know,
yeah.
the base for VDI. We had this discussion 5 years ago when we went to virtualize our workloads. And now we have the same discussion with going to the cloud.
Right.
And we think in the end, it's not like, it's basically the same as going to the Starbucks. It's the complexity of choices. You have another cup of coffee that you can choose from, you know. Do you want the low-fat soya milk or not?
In the past, it was easy, right?
Yeah.
It was black.
Black milk, sugar. That was it.
That was it.
So now for an organization, you have more choices.
Right.
And depending on your needs or wishes, you will choose a certain path.
I'm
but
a black coffee
the,
guy.
All the choices will
right.
be there.
You're right.
It will
but
never
you can
know
more varied than ever, right? What milk? Actually, you know, there's a manual on the internet for ordering at
there's
Starbucks.
A Wikipedia, you know,
it's
yeah.
a 10 steps manual how to order at Starbucks. The,
wow.
You know, discussing
but like
the
you
milk,
said, you know,
the
black
sirens.
Coffee will never disappear. And I
yep.
think it's the same. Like you see a shift, a transition from going to VDI, going
right.
to virtualization, going to the cloud. But still, you will have desktops over there somewhere.
Nice.
Or, yeah,
nice.
That's our.
That's a good way. That's a good way of putting it. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Well, Tony and Daniel, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Tony, you're on Twitter at Tony Krijg. Is that
yeah,
right?
It's TonyKrij.
It's
because my last
right?
name is Krijnen, but when
okay.
you it's
okay.
the J is kind of pronounced as a G, it's
gotcha.
Kind of horrible in
sure. yeah, it's one of those things that's not pronounceable in English.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I'll put notes to that in a podcast as well. And Daniel, you're at Danzap.
Danzap,
which
on
is translated into Dancing Monkey.
That's
Dancing
my nick.
Monkey.
Yes, so HyperD is my professional nick and working space, and nice. Dancing Monkey is my private nickname.
Outstanding, guys. Thanks again for being on the podcast. Make it a great TechEd.